Well, everybody, welcome to episode 277 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it is brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Their integrity guides their focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. They pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Their network of resources allows them to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. We're going to talk a lot of high school football tonight. We're primarily going to be previewing the showdown between Ankeny Centennial and Dallin Catholic on Friday at Valley Stadium, but we'll also be looking at the entire Class 5A landscape before the initial RPI rankings are unveiled next week by the Iowa High School Athletic Association. In a little while, I'll be visiting with Dallin assistant coach Andy Pollock to get his thoughts on Friday's game. All right, but right now we are going to start with the Jaguars. My first guest is the co-head coach of the team, and he has helped guide Centennial to a 4-1 record thus far, along with his father, Jerry. He is Ryan Pizzetti. Coach, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Yeah, you bet. Well, you guys are already more than halfway through your regular season schedule. I know you guys would have liked to be undefeated at this point, but you are 4-1, and there are no unbeaten teams left in the CIML. Overall, you have to be happy with where you guys are at.
Oh, absolutely. With the schedule that we have, starting off with Ankeny and then Ames and then going to Cedar Falls, we slipped a little bit. Southeast Polk's a great team. When you look at Central Iowa football, it's probably never been more even. Just staying healthy right now is the name of the game for us and everybody else.
Well, yeah, one of your wins came at Cedar Falls on September 13th, and the 31-14 victory was the 450th of your dad's career. I wasn't up there for that one, but that had to be a pretty cool moment for your dad. Did he get a little emotional over that one, or has he stopped counting his wins at this point?
You know what? He'll never take credit for anything, but he was obviously pleased with it, pleased with the win as a team. I think the kids, with the emotion that they showed for him after the game, was awesome.
We mentioned that you guys are healthy now, and you told me last weekend that you're probably healthy for the first time since the game against Ankeny. And that's pretty important too, because even if you guys could go 9-0, if you're all banged up at the end of the season, it's going to be hard to go on a deep playoff run. If you aren't healthy, right?
Yeah, if you're healthy now, that's great. But as you get to that last third of the season, that's where it's really important, as peaking at the right time, staying healthy at the right time, putting yourself in position to make a playoff run.
Let's break down this matchup on Friday. Dallin also enters the game with a 4-1 record. The one common opponent that you've played, of course, is Ankeny. You guys opened the season with a 31-10 victory over the Hawks, who got off to an 0-2 start before beating Dallin 23-16 in week 3. But I'm sure you learned a long time ago that you can't compare scores, can you?
Yeah, you can't compare scores. Dallin has a great program. Coach Wilson does a great job over there. Defensively, they're very sound, very physical. Offensively, they're a typical Dallin team, lots of RPOs, different things like that, a lot of inside zone. They want to run the ball just like we do, but they're not afraid to throw it just like us.
Well, yeah, the Maroons have had some impressive wins, though. They posted a 26-23 overtime victory against preseason number one Valley in week 2, and that was the only loss thus far for the Tigers. And you mentioned that it's a typical Dallin team, but is there anything that's unique maybe about this team?
No. I mean, they are who they are. I mean, it's just a reload situation over there. And just like I said, Coach Wilson and that staff does a great job preparing their kids, and they'll be prepared Friday night for us.
Well, yeah, they've had a winning formula for a long time. They're probably not going to change too much from year to year, are they?
No. You know what? They're great.
Well, your offense has been clicking on all cylinders this season for the most part. You guys are averaging about 35 points a game, and the guy sitting here with us tonight, Braden Jackson, has played a big role in that. He's already accounted for 736 total yards. I know Dallin may do some things, try to take him away, but he's a playmaker, and you need to get the ball in his hands, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. The game's going to be won up front with our offensive line and their defensive line and vice versa, our defensive line and their offensive line. We have nice skill kids with Braden and Chase Kluver and Caleb Reed, Kane Brooks. Our offensive line, we knew going into the season, having a lot of returnees would be something that we would have to hang our hat on. We have to this point. Those guys staying healthy, obviously, is very important for us.
We had our quarterback, Chase, has also had a great start to the season. He's completed 44 of 61 passes for 588 yards and 6 touchdowns, while also making 8 tackles and intercepting a pass as a safety on defense. I know you were confident before the season started that Chase could be a two-way starter for you guys, but I'm sure you had some reservations about it. And he did get dinged up a little bit in that loss to Southeast Polk, but it seems to be going pretty well.
Yeah, you know what? He's an outstanding football player, a competitor. The Kluver name here in Ankeny has revolved around football for a long, long, long time. know, Chase is probably the last one of the Kluver clan, I guess. But he is an outstanding competitor, does a lot of things offensively for us, throwing and running, and defensively, he's made some plays as well.
Well, Dowling has another strong defense this season. The Maroons are giving up an average of about 14 points a game. You know, what's going to be the key for you guys to have success moving the ball? Is it all about having a balanced attack?
Absolutely. We need to be balanced going in. We can't hang our hat on one thing and just stick with it. We got to be balanced. We got to keep them guessing, so to speak, and do things that we feel we're comfortable with and make sure they don't dictate what we do, for sure.
Well, then on the other side of the ball, Dowling has had a balanced attack of its own. The Maroons have often been a run-heavy team in the past, but you know their offense this season has been about a 50-50 split in terms of rushing and passing yards. You know, what have you seen from their offense, and what concerns do you have about, you know, stopping it?
You know what, just consistency. They don't turn the ball over a lot. They have two outstanding running backs. They spread the field. They do a lot of very unique things offensively that distress your defense. Our defense for sure is needs to be consistent, not give up big plays. You know, when you look at the realm of the game, penalties and turnovers, special teams, you know, those are the things you always look at before you get into the offense and defense aspects of it.
Well, yeah, a lot of times these big games can be decided by special teams, and you guys have been pretty good in that area this year. Your kicker, Ryan Bendezu, has made 4 or 5 field goals in all 22 of his PATs. Your punter, Isaiah Bassett, is averaging 35 yards a punt. But he did have a punt block in that game against Southeast Polk 2 weeks ago, and that ended up, you know, being a critical play. I'm sure you guys went back and looked at the film of that game. I mean, did you see some things that you needed to correct there?
Oh, absolutely. You're always looking at making yourself better. You can't have mistakes like that to score in touchdowns. We know that. When we walked away from there, we knew it had to be a position for us to make ourselves better as a coaching staff and as a unit.
Well, you guys have had some memorable wins at Valley Stadium over the years, both against Dowling and Valley. And certainly if you can win this one on Friday, you know, would have to rank up there pretty high on your list of wins. You know, do you have a favorite memory of playing over there that comes to mind, or is that kind of like asking you which of your players is your favorite?
Well, the bigger the game, probably, you know, when we played Valley over there with Rocky Lombardi and upset them, they were number one at the time to go to the semis. That was a huge win for Ankeny Centennial and us. But the bottom line is they're all big. You know, when you play the Dowlings, the Valleys, the Waukees, the Southeast Pokes, the Johnston in Central Iowa, the Urban Dells, you can't take a week off. You absolutely can't. When you take a week off, it's going to be a loss. And that's where we're at right now. It's a growing community in Central Iowa. And to play these big games like this is why you coach and why you play.
We got that game with Rocky Lombardi. Ryan Moss had an interception at the end to seal that win, didn't he?
Yeah. There was a lot of talent on that field that night.
For sure. Well, regardless of who wins on Friday, I'm sure you'll be anxious to see where you guys are at when the RPI rankings come out next week. And you told me the other day that, you know, there could be some different teams toward the top of the rankings this year, huh?
You know what? That's what you got to look at. You know, you look at the teams around here. You know, like you said, we all have one loss. Some teams have two losses. And then you look at an Ottumwa, for example, that's undefeated. You look at a Cedar Rapids Jefferson team that has a nice record. Bettendorf, who's always a competitive team, is undefeated. The way that the formula sets up, you always look for the RPI to take care of itself. And I think we look at right now, you know, where does that put you? And we just got to take care of ourselves one game at a time to put us in a position to make a run at that time.
All right, Coach. Well, thanks a lot for coming, and I appreciate it, and good luck on Friday.
Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
You bet. All right, well, my next guest is a senior running back for the Jaguars, and he's off to a great start this year. He has rushed for a team-high 531 yards and 9 touchdowns on 64 carries. He's caught 6 passes for 44 yards, and he also returned in the opening kickoff, 98 yards for a score in the Jaguars' 44-7 win at Des Moines East last week. He's Braden Jackson. Braden, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, you bet. Well, before we look ahead, I wanted to ask you again about that kickoff return last Friday. I know Coach told me that he's reluctant to use you on kickoff returns due to the risk of injury, but that was obviously a big play that ignited your team to a convincing victory. You know, I'm sure you understand his concern, but you know, I'm guessing you'd like to get as many touches as possible, even on kickoffs, right?
Yeah, I mean, I like being out there, and the guys did a great job blocking, and that's why that was able to go so well. So, yeah, definitely enjoyed doing that.
Well, yeah, I can imagine that returning kicks is pretty fun because, you know, you get an opportunity to build up some speed, and if you can find a hole, boy, it's got to be fun, you know, to just fly by those guys trying to tackle you, huh?
Yeah, it definitely is.
Well, Brady, I'm sure you're really looking forward to Friday's game. You guys had a tough loss against Dowling last year that went down to the final play, and then it looked like you guys might get a rematch, you know, in the playoffs at the Unidome. But of course, the Maroons got upset by Ankeny in the quarterfinals, so that didn't happen. But you know, I'm sure that loss has provided some motivation this week, hasn't it?
Yeah, it definitely has. I mean, I've thought about, you know, all of our losses last year, and I'm excited to play some teams that, you know, we maybe fell to last year. So yeah.
Well, what have you seen from this Dowling defense on film? You know, do they do much stunning, or are they a team that just kind of comes out and it's base defense and just tries to outplay it?
It's a pretty basic defense, but I mean, their guys execute it pretty well. They floated the ball really well. They have pretty good linebackers, so it's definitely something that you got to look at on film and pay attention to.
And they're always physical, right?
Yeah.
Well, we talked with the coach about the importance of having a balanced attack, and you've been involved with the passing game this year, too, with your 6 catches. I should mention that Caleb Reed is the team's leading receiver with 21 catches for 287 yards and 3 touchdowns, so he's been the primary target for Chase. But do you guys all have confidence in Chase that, you know, he'll find you with the ball if you're open?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's a really good playmaker, being able to scramble and look for guys downfield, so that's definitely something that we can take advantage of when he's, you know, making plays.
Well, Brayden, with a good game on the ground Friday, you could surpass your rushing total from last season when you ran for 669 yards and 8 touchdowns. You kind of served as a complimentary back to Eli Porter last year because Porter rushed for nearly 1,200 yards. Of course, Eli has moved on to Northern Illinois. So have you enjoyed moving into that feature back role this year?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. It's been fun to, you know, get the ball a little bit more. But credit to him, he was a really good running back, and being able to kind of learn and, you know, be his guy to come in and, like, help him out a little bit, it kind of made me a better player last year. So, yeah.
Well, you're certainly on pace to have a 1,000-yard season yourself. Was that a goal for you before the season started? And if you guys, you know, would be able to go on another deep playoff run, you might have to adjust that goal, huh?
Yeah, I mean, Elijah's my guy, and we joke with him. I talk about how he's only going to get that rushing record for 1 year. So that's definitely a goal of mine, but, you know, we're focused on winning too, but.
Well, we talked with Coach about the RPI rankings that will come out next week. You know, if you guys can finish 8-1 or 7-2, I would think that you would get a higher seed than what you did last year when you had to go on the road, of course, for those first two rounds. And even though you guys showed that you can win on the road, you'd probably prefer to play a playoff game at home, wouldn't you?
I mean, yeah, it would be a great experience, especially out in front of all of our fans. But we just got to get there and take care of business when it happens.
Yeah, that trip to Bettendorf, that was a long one, wasn't it?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I mentioned earlier that there are no remaining unbeaten teams in the CIML. You know, there doesn't appear to be one dominant team in Class 5A right now. Do you think the playoffs could end up being, you know, pretty wide open like they were last year?
For sure. There's a lot of talent in Iowa this year, so I think it's going to come down to who performs week in and week out when it gets later in the season like that.
Well, Brayden, before I let you go, I just wanted to get an update on your recruiting. Do you have any offers, and have you taken any visits yet?
I have no offers yet, but I'm, you know, in contact with a bunch of different coaches and teams, so just kind of got to control what I can control and keep playing, keep, you know, doing my job, and we'll see where all of that lands.
Well, you have a good resource to go to when it comes to recruiting. Of course, your dad, Fred, was a star at Coe College who played some indoor football and later in NFL Europe before spending 9 seasons with the Buffalo Bills, and I believe he is still the Bills' 3rd all-time leading rusher. You know, has he given you any advice as far as how to handle any of the recruiting pitches?
I mean, honestly, he wasn't too highly recruited coming out of high school, so he's kind of, you know, just learning with me, and he's someone that, you know, I lean on to talk to about different things and see what situation's right for me. So, yeah, he's definitely a resource that I go to.
Yeah, he took the long road to the NFL, didn't he?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, yeah, he certainly set a good example. Well, hey, Brayden, thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate it, and good luck on Friday.
Yep, thank you.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. MJ Properties is also a sponsor of the podcast, and MJ Properties is the title sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic as well. And we appreciate their support. And Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa has also joined as a podcast sponsor. Revive opened in 2017 and is located on the south side of Ankeny near Hy-Vee. They provide top-tier aesthetic procedures as well as dermatology. You can usually get a dermatology appointment the same day. Revive offers Botox, fillers, laser, medical-grade skincare, weight loss injections, and cool sculpting. Revive loves Ankeny and is very supportive of this community. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. All right, well, my final guest tonight is a longtime assistant coach at Dowling Catholic, where he coaches the offensive line. He has helped the Maroons to a 4-1 record thus far. He is Andy Pollock. Andy, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I am doing great. Good evening. Beautiful weather, fall, starting to feel a little bit like fall. So fat boys really enjoy that up front.
For sure. Well, hey, before we break down Friday's game, I wanted to ask you about a couple of other things. First of all, I see that you guys will be honoring the 10th anniversary of your 2014 championship team on Friday. And now, since you guys have won 7 titles in a row from 13 to 19, I guess you'll be doing a lot of these over the next several years, won't you?
Yeah, we just did the first one last year, in 2013 last year. And it was so much fun to have those guys come back. See them now 10 years later, and you see their, you know, dads now and husbands now, and just hearing the different things that the guys are up to. We get doctors in the group and lawyers and bridge builders, engineers, and just all the fun stuff that you hear that the guys are up to. And for a lot of those guys, when they're there that night, it's like they haven't missed a beat. It's like you're right back there with them 10 years ago celebrating on the dome floor. So just a lot of fun to see what they're up to right now. And yeah, we talked about that last year, how we're about to go on a streak of having a lot of those celebrations, and we'll go out with them after the game. And it's really, really satisfying to have those guys that are now probably making more money than you, calling you coach. And that, you know, they still, and I still have a lot of reverence for the guys that I've played for as well. And you realize that those guys are still looking up to you, and it's very humbling and very good, very satisfying to have them talk to you like that still.
Well, yeah, 2014 team was a juggernaut that was led by quarterback Ryan Boyle, and your playoff run that year included a 48-14 victory over Anke in the quarterfinals. Now, my memory isn't the greatest, but I do remember that game. The Hawks came out and played you guys, you know, pretty tough, you know, early on. But do you remember what turned that game around?
I was trying to remember. So was that at, did we play that game at East?
Yes.
Was that a game at East? Okay, gotcha. I don't remember a whole lot of that game, to be honest with you right now. You just saying that we played Ankeny in that game, I'm trying to think. Was there a couple turnovers there in the...
Might have been, but you guys had a junior, Michael Zachary, who returned a pair of punts for touchdowns, and that pretty much was the game.
He was a good one, and it's funny you talk about Michael Zachary. His brother David lives right by me here in Ankeny right now, and David has kids that are my kids' age. And David is his older brother David was a tailback on our very first team at Dowling 20 years ago. And now David and Molly live here in Ankeny. Their son Jaden is on our freshman team, and he is the first... I was talking with Coach Wilson about that the other day. They are the first father-son combo now that we've coached. The first one. So we're about to go on a long streak of that as well. But it's really, David's one of my favorite people in the world. Like I said, his kids live up here in Ankeny, and so fun to see him. And his dad is still our team doctor on the sidelines of every game. So that Zachary family has been really, really fun for us. I'm glad you brought that up because, yeah, Michael was a special talent for us.
Well, yeah, let's talk about your current squad. You guys had a huge win in week two when you beat Rival Valley 26-23 in overtime, and the Tigers were the preseason number one team in many places. But then you guys dropped a 23-16 decision at Ankeny the following week before rebounding with victories over Waukee, Northwest, and Roosevelt. And I think a lot of people were surprised by that Ankeny score since the Hawks were 0-2 going into that game. As you look back at it now, you know, what do you think were the biggest differences in that game?
Well, so I think one of the big things about that game is if that game takes place 2 weeks earlier, I think it's a surprise for anybody that we're in that game. Just, you know, a couple plays for each of us here or there, and that becomes a surprise that Ankeny beats us. And I think if you look at things from the beginning of the year, it's no surprise at all that they would beat us. So that based on who was coming back, preseason projections, things like that. So it's just crazy in our league right now. Well, not the league, I guess. You look at the teams in Central Iowa, you got to show up to play every night. And there's a lot of us that are one or two plays away from being 1-4, or a lot of us that are one or two plays away from being 4-1. And at the time, we'd happen to make those couple plays, and Ankeny hadn't. And then that night, they made those plays. So that's how things work out. Obviously, that's a super talented team right now. They got a lot of dudes, and they're starting to hit their stride a little bit on the offensive end that I'm not sure they were hitting yet before that point. But Hankus is running super, super well right now, very strong. Laramie, too. I know he got a little banged up last week, but he is a guy that had a great game against us, and they got some deep threats, too, on that team. So that's a team that they're going to be dangerous for anybody. You know, having a couple losses to start the year means that they likely won't host a playoff game down the road, but they're going to be spoiler for somebody because they're going to be a team that's not going to be in the top eight when the RPI comes out, but they're going to be a team that no one's going to want to play.
Well, yeah, that was certainly a big win for them as they try to claw their way back into playoff contention. And you mentioned the RPI rankings. They'll be announced next week.
Yeah, so Monday at noon. Yeah. I tried to slide some money to the state to let me be the one that breaks those, but I don't think they're having any of it.
Well, you guys are the 4-1 record at this point, you know, considering that there are no unbeaten teams, you know, in Central Iowa. You have to feel pretty good about where you guys are at.
Oh, we super excited about where we're at right now. Knowing coming into the year, I think we're going to have to bring in like 20 new starters, I think was the number, and a lot of youth playing, some freshmen and sophomores in positions that we've never had to play them before, but they're talented guys. We know they will be good down the road. We just didn't expect them to maybe playing at the level that they are right now, and it's been a really satisfying year of coaching these kids because they work hard. I'm not sure I have a feel on exactly how talented we are at this point, but I feel like we play hard, and our kids have made some plays at the time that plays have needed to be made. So we're a very young team, but very excited about where we can possibly be at the end of the year. And the whole talk at the beginning of the year was, you know, the Coach Campbell stuff from Iowa State, trust the process. This isn't going to be something where we're going to be good to start, but we think maybe if we can find the pieces and get to that point at the end of the year and be in position where we're in the playoffs, we might have a chance to win a few games at that point.
Well, when you look at the Centennial team, they opened the season with a 31-10 victory over Ankeny, and then 2 weeks later, the Jaguars posted a 31-14 win at Cedar Falls. And those would have to be their two most impressive victories. Their only loss came in week four, and that was a 21-13 decision to Southeast Polk that came down to the last few seconds. And, of course, the Rams are a team that you will see, too, in a couple of weeks. But what are your impressions of this Centennial team? You know, they seem to have as much talent as anyone.
They do. I think it really starts up front with them on both the offensive and defensive lines. They have some talent. Their defensive ends are as good as anybody we're going to see all year long with Bassett and Curvey. Those guys are just – they're really, really good. They cause issues in the pass game. You have to draw extra attention to them. The guys in the middle, loose. Grider, feels like we've had Grider highlighted on the scouting report for years. I know he's in his third year starting there. He's an issue on the inside. And that's where it starts with them on the defensive side. On the offensive side, they got some. That was the first thing when we watched the film of them playing Ankeny. They got a push on the offensive line that I hadn't seen a Centennial group get in several years. And they were able to push guys around up front. Very impressive with what they're able to do. You know, Max Dickinson anchors that group. They got a couple other guys in there. Owen Lichty's a kid that I watched grow up causing issues at his sister's volleyball games, and now he's a giant of his own right and getting recruited there on the offensive line. So they got some dudes up there. You know, in the linebacking core for Centennial, Reed Anderson is a player. Like, he's an absolute player, and I know it's a thrill to be getting coached by his dad right now and the stuff that's going on there. But he causes issues. They got some other linebackers that are really good, fly to the football, and you watch them play. And then you look at the secondary, and I know it's an anomaly right now to be having a guy that's playing both ways and starting both ways with Kluver, and that name obviously synonymous with football here in Ankeny, the Kluvers, but in Central Iowa as a whole. But you watch what he's been able to do filling in the back end. I think Cale Woods, probably overall athletically, is as talented as corner as you're going to see in Central Iowa right now, just knowing what he's able to do on the track as well as now on the football field. So just a really talented group there right now. That defense is what's that team is built around right now. It is just really hard to move the ball consistently on with what they do. And they're not doing anything fancy right now defensively. They're just coached up. They're very sound schematically in what they do. They haven't had to stunt nearly as much as what they've done in the past, and they're coached up. I mean, their technique, they beat you with being technically sound, and that's what we're prepared for. And they're going to turn this into a fist fight, really. you're going to hear a lot of pads popping, and our guys won't back down from that. But when you look at what they've got, I mean, we have to get a little creative to try to figure out how to move the football on them.
Well, yeah, you talk about their talent, and when you have talent, you don't have to do anything fancy.
No, and that's the tough part. You know, in the past, it's, you know, you can maybe catch them in some situations where they got to move on in. You catch them in movement, and there you go. But right now, they're able to just play you straight up and beat you that way, and that's one of the hardest types of teams to prepare for. You have some things schematically, numbers-wise, or whatever you feel like you can run there, but, you know, they got a dude there, and that makes it really hard to run. And they got guys that pursue the ball hard from the backside, too, and that creates issues because they're not going to be guys that take plays off.
Well, let's talk about your offense. I was looking at your stats, and you guys, you know, have had a balanced attack this year. Your team has rushed for 792 yards in five games while passing for 760. Of course, Rashad Davis has rushed for 368 yards and seven TDs. He's kind of the focal point of your offense. But your quarterback, Parker DePhillips, has passed for 636 yards and four scores, and he's completing about 60% of his passes. Now, you've had some teams in the past that were maybe more run-heavy, but is this the kind of offense you envisioned at the beginning of the year, a balanced team?
Yes and no. I mean, the balance doesn't come on purpose. We have run-pass options in pretty much every play call that we make, so it's taking what the defense gives us. So we were actually just talking about this at the end of last week. I think, what is that, within about 30 yards, I think the number 30 or 40 yards run-pass on the year. I mean, I think any coach in Iowa would love to tell you that they'd love to just run the football and run the football and run the football some more. Certainly as an offensive line coach, that's what I would prefer. But we have, you know, if the defense is going to give us something in the pass game, we'll take advantage of it as well. And then Parker has managed that stuff very well. We've had our other quarterback, Joey Nahas, come in as well and give us some key snaps in that situation. I was able to coach his brother on the offensive line a few years ago. He's up at Iowa State right now. But those are guys, we've got some really nice receivers as well. You got to keep receivers interested. They like to touch a football. Those guys, Coach Wilson's son, Trey, has had several FCS walk-on opportunities, preferred walk-on opportunities. He's a flyer. He's part of a state championship 4x1 team last year. State, can't remember if there's champions or runners-up in the 4x1 because I think Centennial was right up there.
Right.
I can't remember who won it. Either way, they were both really fast. So we've got some good receivers over there. Like to give them a chance to touch the football as well. Obviously, you mentioned Rashad. The Register had a nice article on him today. The kid's been through a lot. But he is a kid that he's just an absolute joy to be around, and plays football the right way, runs hard, really hard to bring down, can be a little frustrating to block for sometimes because you think you've got the play blocked one way and there he goes the other way down the sideline, which is fun, but it's also like, no, right here. So he's a guy that is in his third year starting for us. And he will, as the season goes on, you'll see more and more of him right now because he's a kid that can hurt you in a lot of different ways, catching the ball, returning the ball, running the ball, just a guy that we like to have the ball in his hands. And then, you know, we're starting to get our tight end, Jacob Peterson, involved more and more in the game plan. He's definitely not one of the more physically imposing looking tight ends that we've had in a long time, but he gets the job done, and it's been fun to coach a kid like that too.
Well, you mentioned Centennial's talent on defense, so they've been very opportunistic this year. They have 7 interceptions, 2 of them by Isaac Brule, and Kel Woods did have a pick 6 last week. You know, so I'm sure you feel like even if you guys struggle to move the ball at times, one thing you can't do is turn the ball over.
That's high school football, and then they'll make you drive the football over and over again, and the whole goal in that, and that's how Valley succeeded for years, is you make sure that you make them take multiple plays to go down the field, and eventually in high school they're counting on you making a mistake, and that's what Centennial's defense has been this year. And you talked about Brule, he's a kid that, you know, a neighbor of mine, so you know the Brule family, just they're competitors, you know, and he's a kid that he will absolutely tear your face off on a tackle the way he plays the game, and I love watching him play, especially if he was on my team, he'd be a lot more fun to watch play. Yeah. But seeing him play in a lot of other different sports, obviously talented in basketball and or in baseball. Not basketball, anything but basketball actually, but yeah, he could probably play basketball for that matter, but wrestling and baseball, he's been a fun kid to watch grow up over the last several years, and yeah, he's, you know, another guy, Will Morris, you know, the injury bug has bit him a little bit. I would expect to see him. He's a kid that's all over. Right, you know, Ryan Pizzetti is I would call him a very good friend. Our girls play volleyball together, and he was just texting the other day, saying you're really hard to get a feel for your defense right now. You played a lot of different guys. It's like, it's not on purpose, but yeah, you know, guys banged up and you got to fit them in. I think we're all kind of going through certain semblance of that right now, but it's fun to chat with those coaches. Just ran into Ryan Shuddy today, actually, when we were at the store. We talked about everything but football because his D-line will be going against my O-line this weekend, right. But Ryan's a guy that I've looked up to for a long time based on our back through college when we got to hear stories of Ryan Shuddy all the time up at Warburg. So him and Taylor Anderson both, there's those guys, they coach the game the right way. They're just a bunch of good guys, and they're guys that I love to hang out with and chat with and talk about their kids and all that, but you know, it's this weekend for 48 minutes we get to battle against each other, and I'm sure we'll talk some smack after and maybe before and maybe even during. So,
well, yeah, let's talk about the other side of the ball a little bit too. Centennial is clearly a run-first offense led by Braden Jackson. They've rushed for more than 1,000 yards in 5 games, but you mentioned Chase Kluver. He's throwing for nearly 600 yards and 6 touchdowns. He's completed more than 70% of his passes. For you guys on defense, your linebacker Dylan Manning leads the way with 28.5 tackles. You know, so how do you see this matchup when the Jaguars have the ball? Do you have to try to take away their running game and force them into the pass?
I think that's the goal, right? And maybe hope that there's a lot of things that have to go right to complete passes. But, you know, you look at Jackson, and he's a kid that he's so explosive in what he does. And you talk about limiting his touches. I don't think you want to maximize. Like, you want to make sure there's as many plays possible that they're going to take to drive the ball down the field and hope at some point there's a mistake made. And I think that's high school football in Iowa. You know, we talk about him. J.J. Morgan's a kid that has the potential to go the distance whenever. But one of the things, and I was telling his parents this last night at volleyball, but one of the things with this offense right now that's very interesting is we were looking at returning starters and guys that have played a year ago. And one in the meeting the other day, in our staff meeting on Sunday, someone asked where they found this number 10 at. Thought he was a move-in because couldn't find him anywhere on anything from last year. He's like, and I'm like, who's number 10? Look through the roster. I was like, oh, I know that kid. So Sam Heather is a kid that you know, has just exploded over the last year. Know his parents. Sam's been a little guy for a long time, and now Sam's grown into his body, and Sam is a dude. And you watch some of the blocks that he's laid on people, and he's been able to carry the football a little bit too. And it's one of my favorite stories. This is a kid that's waited his time for a long time, and now he's grown up, and now it's not little Sam anymore. It's big Sam, and he's out there laying the wood to people. And him and Reed Anderson are guys that I love chatting with. Anytime I see them, they're a bunch of respectful young men, and get a chance to just talk with them about sports, life, whatever's going on, and a bunch of good kids. And Sam is a kid that I played football with his dad back in college with TJ. So known him for a long time. Again, knew him as little Sam watching him at his sister's volleyball, even though he's older. Sam has grown up, and he's a good-looking kid. He is a kid that is going to wreck some people, just hopefully not our guys here on Friday night.
Yeah, you mentioned his blocks. I got a good video of him earlier this year where he just blew up.
Remember seeing that? Yes, yeah. He again plays the game the right way. Just a lot of fun to watch what he's doing out on the football field.
Well, hey, before I let you go, I want to get your quick thoughts on volleyball. Of course, your daughter Ellie plays for the Centennial volleyball team. And the Jaguars had a big win at Ankeny last Thursday, and then followed it up on Tuesday with a sweep at Waukee, and that really puts them in the driver's seat as far as the conference race goes. So, I mean, it looks like the Jaguars, you know, could and maybe should, you know, go undefeated in the league. Don't you think?
Which would be an incredible feat given what the CIML is this year. You look at, you know, Waukee Northwest, returning state champs. They lost a lot, but they got some really good young talent. Dowling, who came into the year as a team that they had spent some time at number one, had a chance to beat Pleasant Valley. A lot of us have seen Pleasant Valley in tournament throughout the year. And then, you know, you talk about Waukee. They've been kind of a spoiler. I think they got one of the best players in the state in Maya Rogers. And she's been a little banged up. And I know Ankeny caught her when she was healthy at the beginning of the year. I think they would vouch for me that she may be one of the best players in the state. Hasn't been the same since she had a little knee injury. She's back right now, but just hasn't been the same. Ankeny, Centennial, battled to four the other night. The Jags made some plays in the crunch time. I think that's the only thing that made it to that point. These are the top two of the top three teams in the state right now, with Pleasant Valley sandwiched between them. What a fun fall. I posted this a couple weeks ago. Centennial was number one in football. Centennial was number one in volleyball. At the same time, Ankeny, I think, was number two in volleyball. The football team had just beat us. Like, what a fun fall in this town right now. The sports, it's been a lot of fun. And as someone who's covered, and I know me and you are both covering a lot of these sports right now, and it has been, you know, not just the results on the field, but these are good kids. You know, we've had an opportunity to get to know them at a level of that maybe not everybody gets to meet them, but the kids and their parents. It has been really, really fun to just see what's going on behind the scenes, too, with everything. Coaches, too. Like, there's anybody who's got a kid playing sports in this town has to be pretty excited about where things are.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, when I set up my podcast each week, I have so many different directions I could go.
Sure.
We haven't even mentioned cross country, but we have Ethan Zaber, the defending state champ.
Yep.
I mean, I could talk
about that. The cross country coaches, these guys are awesome guys to chat with, too. And that's not even touch on Ankeny Christian and what they're doing in volleyball right now. And then Michelle is a great friend of ours. Our kids play a lot of sports together, so I talk to her every Saturday, and we're chatting about what's going on at different places. I mean, just what a cool place to be right now.
Oh, for sure. Well, setting up to be an exciting volleyball postseason. You know, Centennial certainly deserves that number one ranking right now. The Jaguars have already defeated six of the seven teams ranked directly behind them, you know, including
that's crazy, number man, two. When you put it that way, that's crazy. Yeah.
Now, I haven't seen Pleasant Valley play in person, but it seems like, you know, after Centennial, you probably have maybe four more teams that could be state title contenders. You get PV, Ankeny, Dowling, Waukee, Northwest. I'm not sure if anybody else would be a state title contender.
I would say Waukee, if they're healthy. I think you could put Waukee up in that conversation as well right now. But yeah, it's crazy. And none of those teams, we were just talking last night, like if the state tournament were to happen today and what that would look like. And I was talking with my wife about that on the way home from the game last night. And we're like, ooh, wouldn't want to play them. And we're like, well, they don't want to play us either right now. You know, it's just, it's crazy. It is so, there's not a front running team, I don't think, with that. I think, you know, Centennial's made plays when the time comes. Some super talented hitters with Pratt and Miller. And, you know, those two have been around forever. Sophie Heather is starting to play so good in the middle right now. And Megan Cheeseman setting up everything with her kind of running that offense. And it's been and the unsung hero of that Centennial squad is Maya Leigh Butters, who just digs up everything in the back row. I think those liberos don't quite get the credit they deserve sometimes, but she's been awesome now for 3 years that she's been playing for them and just a junior. But it's, you know, and then last night you see what Ankeny does, and you look at, you know, Ikey's the one that comes through big last night. That's crazy. I mean, she's a right side hitter. Not too often is that the case on the right side, but, you know, Ikey comes through, and they're able to plug in Raquel Risk in the middle, and she comes up with a big game, too, against Dowling. And so it's, there's some talented girls right now. And every time we play them in volleyball, I just had a memory pop up from 6 years ago. It was number six versus number seven. And I went back and looked at some of the names that were playing that night. You know who all, I mean, you remember all these names because these girls, they were studs playing at that time. So it's, again, it's just a really fun time to be around here and be involved in the high school sports world here in Ankeny.
Yeah, I know that first week in November is going to be a really busy one for both.
Back and forth. Yeah.
Well, hey, Andy, thanks a lot for coming
out. Absolutely.
All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight. We had Ankeny Centennial co-head football coach Ryan Pizzetti, senior running back Braden Jackson, And then we also had Dowling Catholic assistant coach Andy Pollack. I appreciate the time from all of those folks. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. We'll come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.